is the Tom Likas Show.
If you believe in God, you're probably not as smart as I am.
Now, from the New Normal Studios in Burbank.
It's fucking true.
Tom Likas.
Thank you for tuning into the Tom Likas Show. From the New Normal Studios in Burbank, this is where you hear us live. Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific time, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 24-7 at tom.show. You can hear us on our free app. Get it? At the App Store. Get it? At Google Play. Or get it? At tomeverywhere.com. It's tomeverywhere.com. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks for being part of the program. We appreciate it. Here we are together again. You and me. And here we are with a bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs in studio. And we return to doing the show live at our regular time. And since the Dodgers didn't make it into the World Series, it looks that way for the foreseeable future. Adam, good to see you again.
Great to see you, Tom. Really glad to be here tonight.
I understand you have a guest.
I do. And let me give a brief intro and explanation.
Sure.
This is something that actually has come up on your show, and I know that this was even the subject of some litigation a while ago in terms of the demographic. I think that our culture has a strange attitude towards older people, and I think in some cultures they're revered, and they think that you can, you know, study and learn from their experience. And we have this sort of culture that's emphasized on young people. And I know that most of the people probably on the show are, you know, in the sort of younger generation. But I think that it's really, really worthwhile to listen to someone who's married a long time and their experience and what it really means. You know, we live longer today than we ever have, and that's a great thing, generally speaking. But I'm always amazed now that guys getting married, let's say, when a lot of people do in their 20s, especially their early 20s, I mean, if you're going to live to be 90, let's say, that suggests that you're going to be with the same person for 60 or 70 years. that's pretty hard to believe, you know.
Yes, if
you think
about highly unlikely if you think about it.
It's really unlikely. And, you know, when this is something that came up in these calls that you were having in the past few hours, people are talking about their imaginations and how they visualize things. And when you hear that, you know, half of marriages end in divorce or two-thirds of marriages end in divorce, that includes the presumption somewhere that that must mean that the other half or the other one-third or the leftover group must be okay. They must be happily married. You know, it stands to reason if half the people get divorced and the other half must be doing okay. And I think that that's just absolutely not true. And there's a new phenomenon now, which we've mentioned a few times, which we're going to talk about now with this guest, which is called the graying of divorce. And essentially, graying of divorce is people of an older age, of gray hair, getting divorced. Now, I think that
aren't
at one
a lot
time,
of these. Let me ask you a question. Aren't
sure.
a lot of these based on things like Viagra and Cialis? So you get a lot of women in their 50s and 60s who suddenly are being made to have sex way more than they expected?
Listen, I mean, everything has unintended consequences. And these kind of medicines, which are revolutionary, if guys are able to do better in sex at an older age, you know, obviously, in some level, that should be a good thing. But it's also probably, as you say, full of complications for some women that were hoping that the husband would start leaving them alone more so. I always read articles in women's magazines that women were more interested in sex when they got older. But that also seems kind of strange. One of the things, aside from, you know, from sex itself, and this is something fascinating to me, and like my grandparents, I remember, just kind of spoke about sort of, you know, this is the bed you made, you have to sleep in it, this is like how it is. I know your parents were married for a very long time. I don't think that this kind of conceptualization of people that just say, well, I'm old, what am I going to do, start over, you know? But now I hear a different argument, which is interesting, where an older person says to me, you know, I've been unhappy with this person most of my life, and you know, I might not have that much time left. I maybe only have another 10 or 20 years or 15 years, you know, left to my life. I want those years to be really happy. Why should I suffer, you know, right till the bitter end when life is limited?
Well, and the other thing is that nowadays, when kids are grown, that is when people start saying, you know what, I've never had any fun.
Right.
I've never done anything. I got married and settled down and had kids and made 3 or 4 meals a day for 20 years. And, you know, well, what about me?
Right. I think that's true. And I think when you look at a lifetime of work, if your children are somewhat of a disappointment, which is very common, and you sort of look at your accomplishments and if you've, you know, saved and been thrifty with your life and so forth, you sort of look at it and you say, what was it all for? You know, what did I do this for? I mean, I have money in the bank, but I'm not spending it. I own property. What am I going to leave this to my good-for-nothing kids, you know? And it's like, you know, maybe I want to spend the last couple of years of my life, you know, going on tours or cruises, and I've got this wife or this husband that doesn't want to do that. It just became, you know, kind of old in mentality. There's being youthful in your brain, not just being physically youthful. But, you know, if you're not someone who wants to do things, you could be married to someone who's just lying around. That could be really depressing for someone who, let's say, takes some kind of retirement, is still in pretty good health, and wants to have some adventures or whatever. And part of that may be sexual in nature. Like you said, if you have Viagra or these other medicines, maybe, you know, you want to go out and meet some new chicks and have some fun. You know, that doesn't mean you're going to be dating teenagers, but maybe you want to have some adventure. You just go to your grave having only had sex with one or two people your entire life. And that's not so unusual. Most people have had very few partners. So it's kind of a lot of mixed feelings, and I think that our guest on. I think he talked about a lot of this. I want to get him on.
All right. It says here his name is Michael.
Very
so
nice.
So, Michael, welcome to the program.
How you doing, Tom? And hi, Adam.
Hey, Mike. How are you?
Pretty good. You know, do you want me to tell you how I found Adam and what was going on, or what
sure.
would you like me to do?
I think you know me from the Leica show, right? From one of your family friends,
yes,
right?
Yes, I had a family member recommend me.
There you go, Tom.
To you, because he listened to your show and he says that's the type of person that you want to represent you. After I told him I was going to get a divorce, you know, I've been married for 30 odd years, and
wow, that's
and
a,
I got
that's
married
a lifetime.
At 36. And I thought, wow, I'm pretty, you know, at that time, I says, I'm pretty mature. I think that I'm ready to get married. And you know, things went well at first. We had 2 children. And as time went on, we started to go in different, you know, grow apart from each other. And she started to get a little bitter. And, you know, and pretty soon it was, you know, I'd be invited to a party at a friend's and I'd tell her to go and she'd back out at the last minute. And
right.
Eventually I'd lose friends and, you know, and our friends would just not bother to invite me anymore. And
you know, that's
like
called,
that's
like the isolation of marriage.
Yeah.
That's very common
yeah, and,
where your
and
spouse that, keeps you away from your friends and your family and stuff.
Correct. And these last 20 years have been pretty poor. She hasn't worked in over 20 years.
Wow.
And I'm continuing to work, and I feel blessed that I'm able to work in my 70s.
Right.
So, I don't mind working, but at this point in my life, I want to do some fun stuff and travel. And she, you know, there's two instances in the last 2 years where we had trips planned, and one of them was to Israel, and she canceled out at the last minute after I paid for the ticket. You know,
wow.
But I went on both the trips by myself.
See, that's the thing also, Michael, if you think about it, right? I mean, I don't know this trip in particular, but if you're doing these things and she's canceling and you're going yourself, you start to ask yourself, you know, what am I married for, right? I mean, I don't have really a partner who's doing things with me anyway.
No, it's just, you know, she moved into separate bedrooms. It almost like
very
we
typical.
Became, yeah, it almost like we became roommates instead of husband and wife.
Right.
And And, you know, you were saying earlier that, you know, you start to think that in your 70s you've got 15, 20 years of good years left, and you don't want to sit there sitting at home all the time or working all the time. You want to take some time off and have some fun things. And she doesn't want to do it. So I finally called Adam and told him my situation. You know, I always, to avoid fights, a lot of times in our marriage, I would just agree with her and never, you know, I'd always be, you know, and I'd get upset. And pretty soon there was a time when I'd go to bed at 8 o'clock because I didn't want to speak to her. So even though I used to stay up till 1 o'clock watching, you know, the late shows and everything. And then there's times where, you know, I'm out in the field and I'm an auditor, and I'd come home and I'd see her car in front, and I didn't want to come in. I'd just go down to the park and make phone calls for appointments and stuff like that up there rather than do it at home. There was a lot of things like that. And I called Adam, I talked to Adams, and he told me, well, you're not serious. Call me when you're serious. And then I finally called him up, and I said, I'm serious. And finally, we started to proceed. And
Now, with respect to our conversations, I think there's something really interesting that I'd like you to talk about.
Okay.
You know, old habits die really hard. And
correct.
You've been married to her for a long time, more than 30 years. And most of our early conversations, you were talking about your concern for her. That you didn't want her to become homeless, and you wanted to do the right thing, and you wanted to still make sure she was taken care of. And I was trying to kind of get you out of that pattern of thinking, you know.
Well, yeah, and Adam was telling me, you know, he has 35 years of experience. You're going through your first divorce. You don't know what you're getting into. And I sort of, you know, what I kept hearing Adam say is, what am I going to do with you? It seems like you just want to give everything away, because she's going to take everything if you don't buckle down and listen to me. And finally, I saw the other side. You know, when we served papers to her, that day was one of the most miserable days I ever had. And I made up my mind that I wasn't going to stay there. I was going to get out of there as soon as I can. So I started looking for an apartment the next night. And by the end of the week, I had an apartment, and I moved out. A little while later, she calls me up, and this is an incident that she accuses me of going and using my keys and taking things out of the house when I haven't been in 2 miles of my house since I moved out, except for this one time that she said, well, I have insurance, and I don't know if I get in a car accident, if they'll take the house away from me and all of that. So I said, okay, I'll go look at your policy. And I looked at the policy. It has very good coverage. And then she said, you know, I started seeing a therapist under Adam's recommendation, because I was a pretty wrecked. I felt really guilty about leaving her. I mean, and Adam says, don't. You're going to get freedom. But I felt guilty. I don't know why. But I wanted freedom. Anyway, I felt a little guilty about leaving her. So I went over there one day to look at the papers. And she got really, and she didn't want to understand. So I said, no, I'm going to leave. Well, she went out in the, where my truck was parked out in the back in the alley. And she got in front of it, and she says, you're not going until you tell me what your lawyer and your doc and your therapist said.
Unbelievable. That's how. Can you imagine if a man did that? They'd be charged. You'd be charged with kidnapping,
no.
Right? It would be like spouse abuse.
Well, anyway, she's sitting in front of my truck for about 10, 15 minutes.
Crazy.
I'm thinking she's going to get tired. Or she wanted me to physically touch her so she could call the police and say I abused her. Well, I wasn't going
to
get
near
her.
She wants to have something happen, you know?
So what I did is I said, well, the only thing I could do is I called the police department, and I told them that with my situation, and I wanted to leave, and I can't leave because she won't get out of my way. So the police finally came, and they talked to her. They got her away from the car. I didn't care what she told the police. I looked at the police officer, and I says, "Am I free to go?" And he says, "Yes." And I got in my truck, and I got the hell out of there because I didn't, you know. And that's the last time I said I'm ever going to see that woman without a witness or somebody.
Yeah.
And the further we got into this divorce situation, the worse it got. And she just gets, and finally I started seeing, wow, I should have listened to Adam from the very start. And then I said, "Listen, Adam, I want you to just advise me, and you do what, you know, don't listen to me. You advise me, and you do what's good for me, because I worked hard all my life. I thought after taking care of this woman for the 30 years plus, that she should be at least understanding and getting a divorce. I wanted a divorce where we could go our separate ways and maybe even talk once in a while, and leave it at that."
Well, obviously you have two children, right? And you have a lifetime
right,
together.
I have two children.
So one second, do you find her to be really full of gratitude, you know, for all the things you've done for her whole life?
No. In fact, these last 5 years, you know, my daughter is living with this. He's a really nice guy. I mean, I really like him, and she's it's just like if I talk to her, she just like has daggers looking at me, or if I tell her I talked to her, it's just like I did something wrong. She made me feel guilty about talking to my own daughter, and in those last 6-7 years, she every time she would ask me, "Well, you know, you're the father. You should tell your daughter that she shouldn't be living with a man without being married to him." I says, "The girl is 24 years old. She makes her own decisions. I'm her father. The only thing I ever did, I asked my daughter, 'Are you happy with this guy?' And she told me she was. I said, 'Does he ever abuse you?' And she says, 'No, he's really good to me.'" And then my second thing was to go to her boyfriend, and I asked him, "Are you good to my daughter? Are you going to take care of her?" And he says, yes, especially when they moved out of state. It was a little tearful for me, for my little girl to be moving out of state where I may not see her as much. And he told me he was going to take care of her. And that's all a father wants, is his daughter to be independent and take care of herself and be loved, and for somebody to take care of her.
Now,
that's what I think
Michael,
a father's role is.
Of course.
He's not to judge her for what she does, especially in this society.
So, Michael, let me ask you something. You were telling me how your life's different now, that you're sleeping better.
I'm sleeping better. I'm free, the only thing is that she used to call me and give me these nasty calls and you know, accuse me of this and that. And I used to call you, and I says, "Well, what can I do with it?" And you just did something simple. Block her phone. Don't answer the calls. Don't talk to her. I mean, how simple could that be?
Now, I got to tell the audience something about this. Obviously, you hired me at the beginning. We worked on the case. And then
correct.
About 2 weeks ago or a week ago, we actually went to court, and she was there, and I actually met her, and I actually dealt with her directly, and we sat in a room with a mediator and tried to work out some of the issues of the case. And I have to say, Ken, she is one of the nastiest women I've ever seen. I mean, she literally, you love this, Tom. This is classic. She went through all of the disappointments of her life as a bitter old woman, okay? Everything that was wrong, everything that didn't come out the way she expected, all of the things that disappointed her, and then she concluded that they were all Michael's fault. Everything. Right, Mike? Do I exaggerate?
No, you're not exaggerating.
It was
I mean,
unbelievable.
Even when we're sitting there and we're talking about my daughter. I don't think she ever referred to us as our daughter. She referred to her as your daughter, and you tell her what she told you. I mean, you know, when you tried to, you know, when we tried to, you know, one of the properties is she's on title with me, and I think what Adam suggested is that we turn the property over to her since it's
right,
our daughter.
To give it to your daughter, right?
Right, and she got really upset with that, and I think you even tried to talk to her later and ask her about it. And what did she tell you?
I just don't think, and it's really why I really appreciate you coming on. And thank you for talking about this with us. I just don't think guys realize what they're facing in the longer term. You know, the classic thing that we've just heard in the past few hours, and we've heard this many times before, where the guys say, you know, things were okay at first. Things are pretty good for the first year or two. But you don't realize if you're in your 20s or even your 30s, and you got married in your mid-30s, you know, you're going to be with this woman for the rest of your life, supposedly. And for her to just sit there and build up all the resentment, and you talk about her not working, so you supported her. You found her dream, not your dream necessarily, to have a family. You ended up, you know, supporting her. You ended up having a lot of savings. You guys had a good life. You have, I think you own a few houses and so forth. And she is so bitter. And there's like nothing you can do to please her or appease her. I mean, you plan this international trip, and at the last minute she says she doesn't want to go. You're planning to go to family affairs, you know, friends, whatever. And as you're getting into the car, she decides she doesn't want to go. And then this face that she had, it will always live with me, Michael. When we're sitting there in court trying to negotiate, she's got the face of pure anger. And meanwhile, we found out that she had hidden money. You'll love that, Tom. She had a bank account she didn't tell anyone
about. I'm not surprised, but a lot of guys will be.
No, she's stashing money there, a lot of money that she didn't tell anyone about for years that Mike didn't even know about. And she's very angry at her daughter. She's got all this bad feelings, you know. She just, you know, made him break connections to their friends, to his friends, to his family, very controlling. And in the end, someone who's just endlessly angry and never going to get over it, and it was just this albatross around Michael's neck, and he wants, and she, and you know, from as far as she's concerned, he deserves this. She can have him as her whipping boy, and this will be for the rest of their lives. So he finally tells her, "I can't do it anymore. I want a divorce," and she's furious about that. It's uncanny. And the one thing that you said to me, you know, Michael, that I really appreciated the most was I wrote this down. You said that you felt like your life was finally starting. That's something, right?
Yeah, just like it started. And, you know, once I moved out, it was just I was relieved. I was relieved. And the less I talked to her, the better it is. I mean, you know, because she's so full of anger, and I don't know why, you know, why can't people realize they don't belong together anymore and just have a conversation about it and get it over with and divide the property the way it should be divided up. And that's all I wanted. And you ask Adam, I said, I don't want any more or anything less. But if I let her do it her way, she's going to take everything from me.
Oh, yeah,
I mean,
of course.
She'll leave me out under the bridge if she could.
Well, but the bitterness of women, it's something that we just see all the time. It knows no limits. And, you know, one of the things in our society that we don't really admit is that in a lot of ways, you know, sad as it is sometimes, divorce is actually a very positive thing. You know, when you have two people that are torturing one another, you know, it's a good idea to separate them. And, you know, I really feel this way. You know, I understand you're in your 70s, but, you know, you could have 20 great years, you know, doing all the things you always wanted to do, you know, meeting people, traveling, whatever you're into. And I think you should be free to do that. It's depressing that people stay in these horrible situations and sort of martyr themselves and say, oh, well, this is how it is and there's nothing I can do. That's a tragedy.
Well, the last several years, I really, you know, and you know what the surprise that surprises me the most is she said herself. She said in the last several years, well, you know, if you're not happy living with me, maybe we should do something about it.
Wow.
You know, that to me, that would say, well, that she wants the same thing I want, and that's a divorce. But once I make the decision, we should have gone to counseling. We should have done this. We should have done that. I said, that's over with. I don't think it. If we went to counseling, your idea of counseling is for the counselor to listen to you, and everything you say is okay, but anything I say is wrong, and I'm going to be the one that loses at the end, because you just don't know how to negotiate or to admit that you're wrong. You know, she doesn't, and that's the funny thing about it. In all of our years of marriage, I think I've apologized many numerous times, and I don't know if she's ever apologized to me.
Wow.
But, you know.
All right, so listen, Michael, I think we're going to take a break. Tom's giving me the signal here, and we have a couple of people that want to talk to you.
Okay.
No?
No, we have callers who have other subjects.
Oh,
letting you
sorry.
Know that
you
we
call.
Have several
right.
calls coming in.
Sorry, I have to take calls questions.
Because we've been doing this for about 20 minutes, I thought I'd give you a... Or am I? This is Radio 101, folks.
Yeah,
there's 20 minutes on one call means you don't get to any of the other calls.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so I'll just sit. You want me to be on standby or in case some, or what would you like me to do?
I think we're good. I appreciate it. I really appreciate you talking about this. This was really interesting.
How did it all turn out without making this go 40 minutes? the final
I think Michael started his life again, and we're going to get him divorced. And this bitter old woman is going to be alone. That's the bottom line.
Oh, so it's still going.
And this guy's going to live the life that he wants for the next 20 years.
Well, we love that. And I want to thank you so much, Michael, for telling us that story. We really appreciate it. We do have to take a break. We're going to come back. We've got callers. We've got a bunch of callers. We want to talk to Adam Sachs. And if you've got a question for Adam, you call right now at this number. 901-3000-TOM. That's the number on this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. 901-3000-TOM. Call us right now at 901-3000-866.
Tom Likas, the Internet's most listened to call-in show. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Well, we're getting questions about the party as we're getting closer. The Halloween party and costume contest for this Thursday. Do you have to be in costume?
No.
Do you have to be a subscriber to Premium Tom or Super Premium Tom? No. This party is the same price for everybody, including you. So you can just come in, dress normally, and see what's going on around you. So get your tickets now, whether you're going to be competing for the Halloween costume contest with prizes from BN Audio, Black Box, and Triangle Billiards, or you just want to be an observer. You can do that. Maybe you work at a competing media outlet. Fine. You can get your ticket right now. Go to letmein.party. Letmein.party. As in www.letmein.party. Bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. We are here with family law attorney Adam Sachs. And your phone calls at 901-3000-TOM. 901-3000-TOM, that is the number. 901-3000-866. Here is Rick in Orange County. Rick, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
Hey, Rick, what's up?
Hey, I'm going through a situation now and just really wanted to get some advice on
sure.
how the whole separation child support thing works here in California.
Okay.
We were together for about 6 years and recently split up. We were never married, but we have two kids together.
Right.
What rights do I have and things like that?
Okay. Well, first of all, you know, children don't automatically go to the mother. I mean, that those days are over. So it depends on the circumstances and what's in their best interests, who has the more stable situation, etc. So one of the other things that California favors, generally speaking, is joint custody. So unless you have something going on, some kind of abuse or something strange like that, for normal situations, the law wants the children to spend half the time, more or less, as much as possible, equal with both parents. What ends up happening...
Okay, yeah. It was never anything like that. We just, you know, grew apart.
No, I'm not talking about when you guys were together. I'm talking about now.
Right, right.
And broadly speaking, what tends to happen, unfortunately, is a lot of guys, you know, don't exercise a lot of rights. A lot of guys move out, so they leave the children with the mother, so she's, like, kind of primarily raising them. But normally speaking, you know, as the father, you should have an equal say in, you know, where children go to school and what they do and, you know, raising them and so forth. But unfortunately, what ends up happening also typically is that the man tends to make more money than the woman. And particularly if the woman was, let's say, a stay-at-home woman raising the kids, you know, stay-at-home mom or whatever, when the courts calculate child support, they take the father's income and they calculate it against the mother's income, and they also calculate it based on the split of time, which is, you know, who has the kids and what percentages. So it's very important to be aware of these things in calculating, because that's going to be where the amount of child support comes from, and whether she has to pay it to you or, more likely, you have to pay it to her. You see?
Yeah, I get that.
So you have two separate things. You have custody, which is your time in connection with your children, and then you have child support, which is financial support to the children. And these are things that need to be worked out. A lot of people will write this on a piece of paper and get the piece of paper notarized or something. That's of no legal consequence at all. That doesn't work. You have to go to court. You have to do it properly. A lot of women go to the state, and they will get child support for them, and the state handles it. It's done through the district attorney's office, with the Department of Child Support Services. But that is also very crude, because that doesn't take care of the custody and the other issues. It's only the money issue. And that's when you hear about these guys owing a lot of money, and they take away your driver's license and that kind of stuff. That's something you want to try to avoid at all costs. You know, one
If you're able to do 50-50 split, how does that work on the support side?
Well, that will make the child support much more favorable. If the father, for example, has only 10% time with the children, or zero or whatever, the child support will be much more. The reality is, if the kids are with you half the time, then you're paying half of the expenses just during the time that you're with them half the time. So it's not this idea of you just supporting her and she's paying for everything. You know, you guys were together for a number of years, it sounds like, even though you weren't married. One of the things that you have to try, I mean, I understand your relationship didn't work out, but you do have children together. It would really be a good idea to try to talk to her and to see if you can have some kind of civil relationship where you're not fighting for the sake of the kids at the very least, and that you guys can try to work together to what's called, you know, co-parenting, which means that you're supposed to work together to raise your kids, you know, as best in their interests as possible. And it's very, very upsetting and traumatic for children to see their parents fighting and having a hostile time together. It's going to be much more constructive, especially if you guys have recently separated, you don't have a lot of bad feelings, it wasn't this big infidelity or whatever. You know, it's always a good idea if you can sit down with her like human beings and say, look, we have these two kids. We want them to, you know, be happy. We want them to have good lives. So let's try to make a plan and try to work it out as peacefully as you can, and to, you know, keep the involvement of the courts to a minimum. But you do need the court involved, of course.
That's what we've looked at and talked about. But, you know, I always have a feeling in the back of my head that, you know, she may just snap and change her mind.
Yeah, so that's why you have to have court orders.
Instead of doing it the right way.
No, that's why you have to.
I need to protect myself.
I'm with you, but you don't just do it on your own. If she's acting good now, you get this written down and made into court orders, and then if she goes bonkers later on, you don't have a problem because you have it all agreed to already.
Right.
If you listen to the person who called, that was my client, who's my guest a couple minutes ago, you know, he's talking about how angry women become. And that's true. That's also a factor of time. So you may have a brief window now that you just recently separated that you can work some of these things out and get it into writing and get it before the court so it's legally binding. And then, you know, when she starts becoming insane and jealous or whatever, that's her problem. And you don't have to deal with it anymore. A lot of guys put it off. That's a shame.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's why, you know, I've listened for many years, never called in, but I figured that this is probably the best time to get some good advice.
Well, give me a call off the air, and I'll certainly help set you up with this. But don't put it off, because I'm telling you, it only gets worse.
We'll put you on with Dino, Rick, and he'll get you in touch with Adam. We'll make that happen. Let us say hi here to Octavio Santa Clarita. Octavio, you are with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, great. Octavio. How are you?
Good. Good. Let me turn off the volume. For some reason, it went down. I got a question for you, Adam.
Sure.
I just recently got laid off a couple of weeks ago.
Okay.
And I got divorced in past May and through a settlement. We didn't go to court. So, obviously, I mean, there is child support and spousal support.
Right.
And I talked to my lawyer after, I mean, I got laid off. So obviously, I mean, there has to be a reduction in child support and spousal support.
Well, this is the thing. This is a very cruel thing that especially happened to people after 2008 when the real estate market collapsed. There were a lot of people that were making big money selling mortgages and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden, that whole industry just disappeared, you know? If you have court orders or stipulation, it sounds to me like you signed
some kind of a
stipulation.
Judgment,
yeah okay.
Right.
That remains in place permanently, okay? And so, for example, if you're supposed to pay $1,000 a month, come rain or shine, you owe $1,000 a month. And I talk to a lot of guys that have changes in their situations. They lose their job, they get transferred, whatever. And so they miss payments. And that's suicide because those payments are still due. They are not automatically adjusted. And they're subject to interest. And there's all kinds of things that can be done against you to enforce that. You have no idea. It's a nightmare. And so you have to go back to court.
I mean, I have a fuck you fund, so I'm
all right,
good
well, that's
that
good.
One.
But I don't want you to – good work on there. I don't want you throwing away your FU fund. But I have to tell you – If you have had a loss of your job and a drop in your wages, you have got to get your lawyer straight and go back to court immediately and get the support adjusted because otherwise the original order is still in place.
Right. That's what he said, exactly like you're saying now. So, and I'm trying to come to an agreement with my ex in the sense that I know if I drop to zero, I mean, the payments that I make her, she will not be able to even to pay rent, and I will do it only because of my son.
I know, but too many women depend on child support as their main source of income, and that's not what it's supposed to be for.
I know.
That's really sad. I've had a lot of women who just lived off child support, and then when the kids turned 18, they didn't know what to do because it ended, you know, naturally because the kid became an adult. But, you know, women tend to be very unsympathetic, and if you say to your ex, look, I'd love to give you the money I've been giving you, but I lost my job.
Right.
She's not going to be rational. She's going to say, F you, I want the money anyway.
Yeah, actually, she was rational at the beginning.
Really?
So, I mean, yeah. So we come to an agreement in terms of the amount, but now she's having second thoughts, of course.
Uh-huh.
Because she thought that when I'm employed again, she will get some money retroactively, which is absurd.
Right.
And so my question to you is related to this whole thing, and is that I'm about to, and I might sell an asset, and it's a car that it's a classic car that we evaluated a lot. So if I get, a lump sum, I mean a big amount of money, how does that play out in terms of, I mean, salaries? Because I don't know if this is a master of a child support.
If you sell a piece of your property, that's not income.
Okay.
And that's just what it was.
It's a capital gain.
It could be a capital gain if it went up in value in terms of what you bought it for and what you're selling it for. and you might declare it on your taxes. But that's not generally what the divorce calculation of the DISO master is looking at. They're looking at like monthly income from a job. You might have a special category of capital gains income, which you might have to list, but that would be a little different. And also the thing about it, obviously, you're only selling this car one time.
Correct.
So this is a kind of a one-time unusual income rather than your normal income level. So you certainly need your attorney to help counsel you with that. But I don't know that that's going to be a great basis for child support, because obviously you can only sell this car once, and then you know, it's gone. The one thing you want to be aware of is not letting this to chance and leaving this without taking care of it, because you start developing, like I said, a big arrearage, and then you get killed by interest, and then you're snowball and you never, you know, finish, never. I talk to guys that tell
You know. I mean, and actually, my lawyer actually put initially as what is called a modification of child and spousal support, and that is, I mean, if we are all in agreement, I mean,
but you can't
myself.
You can't count on her goodwill. She's
a
woman.
And
she will change her mind.
Court.
Yeah.
Right. Right. And then, I mean, if we don't come to an agreement, my lawyer just told me that we have to file an RFO.
Yeah. But you don't have time to negotiate with her, is what I'm saying. You should file now. And if the agreement doesn't work out, then you have the hearing coming up next month or 2 months from now. Women are not, you know, rational when it comes to money in particular. And so if you think she's going to understand, you know, oh, I understand you're going through a job transition, bullshit. She's going to say, I expect that money. Give me the money. And you'd be surprised how hostile these things can become. It's pretty incredible. So
You and I talked on back in 2013, and you told me because you told me back then because I told you we're trying to work it out, and you almost laughed at me.
Really?
You told me you're not gonna work it out, and it actually happened. It didn't work it out, and I didn't pull the trigger before because she didn't have a job, so I knew that will account for some of the calculations on child and spousal support.
All right.
But at the end of the day,
all I can say is when I talk to these guys and they haven't paid support for a few years and they owe hundreds of thousands of dollars, they're never going to get out of it. So either deal with that lawyer you had, give me a call after the show, and I'll help you square this away.
Okay. Okay, man.
Thanks.
All right. Good luck. Thanks for the call. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Adam's going to tell you how we can get in touch with Adam if you need to talk to him. It's all coming up as we continue in this bonus hour of the Tom Likas Show. Don't go anywhere.
Don't let your smartphone be a dumbass. Download the Tom Likas app. Now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
It's the Tom Likas Show from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. Get your tickets to our big Halloween party coming up this Thursday. Go to letmein.party. That's the website, letmein.party, as in www.letmein.party. Adam Sachs, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can see me at the party, of course.
There we go.
I'm going to be there.
Nice.
Not sure if I'm going to wear a costume. I'll let you know.
We would love that, you know.
Thank you. Certainly give me a call, toll free at 1-800-340-7320. That's 1-800-340-7320. Check me out on Facebook or on the World Wide Web at www.adamlawyer.com. And you can also send me email, which I answer personally, adam@adamlawyer.com.
901-3000-TOM. Here's Kevin in Orange County. Kevin, you're on the Tom Likas Show with Adam.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hey, great. Kevin.
Good. Hey, I know we're at the end of the hour here, so I'll try to make this quick.
Sure.
I decided to DTB and have been divorced now for about a year, and it's been the best year of my life. So,
there you go. What did I tell you? See?
Been great.
So is divorce a terrible thing?
About hey, what's that?
I said, is divorce a terrible thing?
No, it's been great. And, Tom, you have those shows about guys, if they won the lottery, would they dump that bitch? And I didn't win the lottery, but my mom died, and I got a nice chunk of change. And so That's separate property in the state of Texas, so that was all I needed to make the decision.
Good
so that was
you.
Good.
There you go.
Hey, so Adam, my question for you is the only thing still lingering is the sale of the house that we lived in.
Okay.
That is my ex-wife is still living in the home. It's been on the market. We've been on the market now for about a year. We did have to take it off for about 5 months while we had some plumbing work done that we, you know, caught during an inspection.
Okay.
But the issue now is that we're not agreeing on the price, and our decree states that if we do not agree to a mutually agreeable price, then that should go to the real estate agent to make that decision. Well,
okay.
You know, I want to. It's been on the market now for so long, and the agent and I are wanting to lower the price. But my ex-wife is challenging in that. So right in that clause in the decree, it says that I could or either party could, let's see, what does it say, a court-appointed receiver. And I wanted to know what that means and if that's a good idea for me to
right.
do at this point to take this over.
Well, it's sort of like a referee in a way. You know, it's a problem because, you know, she lives there. So she has an incentive to, let's say, not want to sell the house, right? Because, you know, she's enjoying staying there, and it's good for her. I had a couple of cases where the party, and I had one where it was the husband who was living in the house, and he started doing things to the house to make it unsellable. And I also had women that had the house, and if the agents would come to try to show the house, they would, like, do crazy things, like not let them in, or they would, like, make a mess, or they would, like, carry on and scream at them and stuff. So they would try to, you know, make it impossible to sell the house. So if your ex is being stupid about it and she's causing the house to be not sold by insisting on a price that doesn't make sense, and it's not just something you came up with. You have professionals. Obviously, you have
right.
like real estate agents or whatever who are saying, you know, this is too high. We need to ask for this. I don't know what kind of numbers we're talking about. But if she's fundamentally not cooperating in doing what needs to be done to sell the house, then you have the right to have court intervention, where either the judge is going to give her orders to make her do it properly and make her cooperate with a listing at the right price, or hiring, as you say, a receiver or a referee or some other person, usually a lawyer of some kind, to be the person who sells the house to make sure that it gets sold. Because obviously she's not doing what needs to be done. I don't know about this plumbing problem, but broadly speaking, if you've been separated, divorced for a year, it's time to sell the house, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And so she's trying to squeeze every penny out of this as she can.
Tom, how do you like that? A woman who's trying to squeeze every penny.
Imagine that.
Never heard of that before.
Yeah, right.
No.
So, you know, it's in my interest to get this house sold right away because I have $97,000 coming immediately to me,
right.
which was separate property from you know, money I put into that house
right.
after I sold a previous house.
So,
and
you
this
see,
is all outlined in our decree, so there's
I know,
no argument.
Why
with any
is it
of
in her
stuff.
Interest to sell the house?
Well, she, you know, again, she wants to get as much money out of this
house. I know,
house
but
as possible.
She also doesn't want you to get the money.
Right.
And she
right.
get and yep. she gets to live there as long as it's not sold. So she's got 10 different reasons to screw around and make it difficult. So you may have to go for some court intervention to make sure it gets done. And you can't
right.
leave things like this
hanging. Right, I think that's kind of where I'm at, Adam. Do I need to get my attorney back involved to do that, or do I go
so.
Right to the state of Texas
no,
to do that?
I wouldn't do it without a lawyer.
Okay, gotcha.
It's not as big a deal as your whole divorce. It's probably only a few hours of work. But you need your lawyer to make sure that the decree gets enforced, and maybe filing in the court or starting to, you know, serve some papers on her, maybe that'll snap her out of it. But I'm telling you, women will ride the wave as long as they can. And so if you just let her get away with it, women are like children. She will just keep doing it until she gets punished, you know?
Yep. No, you're spot on, man.
It's a fact.
Okay, that's what I needed to know, Adam. Appreciate the help.
Good luck to you.
We're going to take one more here, and this is Wesley in Philadelphia. Wesley, you're on with Adam Sachs. Hello.
Hey, Sean. Hey, Adam. How you guys doing?
Hey, Wesley. How
okay.
are you?
I have a quick question.
Sure.
I'm sure you guys are familiar with Paterny by Estoppel in Pennsylvania. You know, like they passed that back in 2012. Earlier, I was having a discussion with somebody to try to tell me that if a man marries a woman with children, he is not going to have to worry about potential child support obligations because of some case that just got decided to just PA Supreme Court in the end of 2015. It's called ASVIS. In that case, there was a guy that married a woman in Serbia in 98. She had twins before he married her. They got divorced, and in the course of the divorce, she went to law school. She then wanted to move to California, and he started trying to litigate. He started initiating litigation to try to get custody of his children. And then when he did not get custody, he said, okay, well, I shouldn't have to pay child support. Right. The court basically says, all right, well, okay, you're not going to get custody, but we're going to have to make you pay child support because you have gone above and beyond the standard of, loco parentis, I think it's called.
Right.
So at that point, they said, since you're doing that, we're going to make you pay child support. So she's saying that basically that's reason to believe that the laws in PA are built. The court in PA is no longer going to have you pay off child support if you held yourself out as the child's father in the course of marriage, which that's not what the legislature says at all. So it's like, because I've gone over that exact same case, because she was saying that's the reason. I'm like, it says right here they'll make a father pay child support if it's in the best interest of the child.
Right.
And that's probably just one example of the best interest of the child.
Okay. So I understand the bottom line. The bottom line, and this goes straight to, the old Likas 101 rules, is you don't get involved with a single mother. That's suicide, okay? If you are,
right.
and I'm going to talk broadly now, all 50 states, okay? There are variations on these themes, and it's stricter in some states and looser in other states. But the reality is that the courts are always thinking in what they call the best interest of the child. That comes from the Supreme Court of the United States. And so, if you are living with a woman and she has kids, or you're married to that woman and she has kids from another guy, and you are taking them to school and you're eating breakfast with them and you're acting like a father to them, you are taking a very, very big risk. Because one way or another, your relationship with her is going to get screwed up, and she cannot find the deadbeat loser moron that she had these kids with, of course, and the courts are going to look to you. And if the kids talk to a psychologist, the kids are going to say that they thought you were their father, okay? And one way or another, a woman is going to want money. The greed of women knows absolutely no limits, okay? I had a woman call me once who was she was a single mother. She had a young child, and she was leaving the child occasionally in her apartment building with her neighbor, who was this young guy who was babysitting for her. And she asked me if she could sue him for child support, okay? Because women are looking for ways of getting money without having to work. And one way or another, if you're in the situation that you're describing and you're with a single mother, when you guys split up, she's going to come after you for child support, okay? And you're going to play these arguments that you didn't get involved and it's loco parenti and all this other nonsense. But the reality is if there's no one else to sock it to, the court is going to sock it to you, period. You got to be out of your mind to get involved with a single mother. I wouldn't even consider the possibility.
Oh, no, me either. I would never do this at all. Because I was actually having a discussion. Like, when this came up, I was having a discussion with another guy, and we were talking about this. And she came up and said, you don't have to worry about that. And I'm like, here's the statute that proves you wrong. And so basically I'm thinking, all right, because based off what she's saying, she's like, okay, well, you're not going to have to worry about that because of that ruling. I'm like, that's still pretty freaking arbitrary. Like, that's a big, like, that whole best interest of the child
standard. There's always a way. There's always a way to stick it to the man. And as the man, you're going to get it stuck to you, period.
Yeah. So, I mean, because it's like that standard, best interest of the child has never, like, been explicitly defined. So even if what she's saying is true, you still have to go through all kinds of litigation and pay all kinds of lawyers and lose all kinds of money just to prove, it's not going to be in the best interest of the child to make you pay child support.
So what's the upside? You're going to have stepkids that one way or another are going to hate you. They're going to tell you, don't tell me what to do. You're not my real father. If the real father gets released from prison and shows up after all the years of you paying for everything, he's going to go to the front of the line. The kids are going to say, oh, daddy's here. They're going to forget all about you. Okay? You get divorced. You separate. She sues you not only for herself, but on behalf of the kids that aren't even yours. I just don't see the benefit. There is no benefit. You got to be out of your mind.
Especially if she gets back with the husband and she's living in that house and you're paying.
Oh, there you go. Even better. Why not? And she's going to go after you because you're the one that has an income. And you're raising some other man's cast-off progeny? What for?
Hello?
I'm just saying, why would you raise another man's cast-off progeny?
I mean, I wouldn't do it. I mean, that whole, my thing is, I'm not really looking at having kids as a priority. And if I was going to be raising any kind of kids, I would prefer they were mine. So, I'm just saying, I was having a discussion with somebody else because he was saying, well, he was, because I forget how that topic came up, but we were having that discussion, and I was like, dude, this has been PA law since 2012. Found this out last year. Here's the risk. And someone else walked up and said, oh, well, that you don't have to worry about that. Yeah, you do.
Okay, I got it. I just wouldn't bother with it.
All right, Wesley, thank you. Appreciate the call. Once again, how do people get in touch with you, Adam?
Call me toll-free, 1-800-340-7320. Send me an email, adam@adamlawyer.com.
It's that simple. Now, if you missed any part of Adam, if you'd like to call him live, don't worry. You'll get another chance. It's coming up on Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
I heart this app a lot more. Download the Tom Likas app now. 901-3000-TOM. This is the Tom Likas Show.
From the New Normal Newsroom, it's news for guys. I'm Gary Zeno.
Yes.
Women are drinking just as much as men now.
Well, they can.
Researchers have extracted data from 68 studies of alcohol consumption from 1948 to 2014.
That's a significant study.
Right. And apparently the broads have caught up. They're enjoying the booze.
Right.
So get them nice and liquored up and enjoy yourself.
They won't argue and they drink. I wonder if wine has a lot to do
with
this.
What do you mean? They won't argue and they drink? I don't
right.
Think, I
you
don't
said
think that's
make them
the board,
drink.
Right?
They should say.
Across the board.
Well,
I've seen frauds get pretty crazy when they're drunk. I don't know what world you're living
in. Well, wine. Just tell them to drink wine.
I mean, it's one thing to have a glass of wine at dinner or, a cocktail or whatever, but. If you're holding hair, while she's hovering over the toilet, that's a whole other thing.
Sometimes that happens when you mix weed and drinking, too. You get broads that want to smoke pot, too, and then drink, and you're sick.
If you look at it that way, there's so many different possibilities. You know?
Well, I'm a purist. I mean, wine is the way
to
go.
So you really enjoy when she talks incessantly for fucking 6 hours and chewing on her tongue.
All you do is you just say, I got to go out and get more Coke, and then you leave.
Nice. New study shows that so-called emasculated men refuse to do chores except for one thing, and that is to cook. This apparently is in reference to guys who have lost their jobs.
Right. I mean, cooking, they don't mind because, that's kind of like a thing now. They have 10 billion cooking shows and everybody's kind of on board with it.
Yeah.
So that's okay. By the way, this was done by, it looks like one of mine there, Danny Cassino. He's a professor at Fairleigh Dickinson University.
FDU. So,
yep.
No person or two who's gone there.
Me too, actually. Yes. And also his wife, Yasmin Cassino, from Montclair State.
Nice.
If they really got, they cleaned
the
house.
Jersey thing
yeah,
going on
it is,
over there,
man.
Big time.
It is. Of course, a walk from Jersey, too.
Yeah. Overall, U.S. women clean more than men do. American men did an average of 15 minutes of housework each day, while women did 45. Most men, 77%, did no housework on any given day. <It's just crazy. laughs> Well, most women, 55%, did at least some. But then when dude loses his job, he's definitely not in. He's not going to take over her house cleaning responsibilities.
No, he's got other things to worry about.
Right. Of course.
Like football and
right.
Football yeah, and
football.
Football. Yeah.
Nobody hated his wife more than Robert Blake did.
That's true. She drove him crazy. Yeah.
National Enquirer saying that he offered $10,000 for a whack job on her just 6 months before she was kilted.
All right. So you imagine if the story is true, Robert Blake clearly had enough, must have offered somebody $10,000 to do essentially
what he was alleged to have done.
Yeah.
Yes. But what really happened?
Wait a minute! Did he go to jail? Didn't he get in trouble after all?
No.
Oh, he beat it.
What really
oh, cool.
happened is that the gun.
I like that about him.
He was having dinner and he happened to have a gun on him and it fell out of his pocket.
Yeah.
And then he went outside with her and then oh shit, forgot my gun. Went inside and when he came out, she was shot dead. You believe that, right?
Yes.
Yeah, she was hated. There are some really good voicemails he left her.
It is all a lie.
Yeah. He could get together with Mel Gibson and have a ball.
Those two would be an incredible dynamic duo.
Finally, it's not over. People still accusing Michael Jackson of diddling them. This broad comes out of the woodwork only, 30 years after the incidences?
Right. This is a 12-year-old girl, which throws up a few red flags to me right there.
That it would be a girl.
Mm-hmm.
She claims that she was paid checks, right?
Right.
To the then 12-year-old. But now she's come back and she's suing for more.
I guess they stopped by his Havenhurst home as sightseers at the ripe old age of 12. Mm. She says Mikey invited them in to see his candy area. She claims that Michael fondled her genitals and gave her some what he called movie kisses, which is tongue kissing her mouth and body.
Trees.
And then she also alleges there was some vaginal penetration.
Right. Plenty more news for guys.com, and of course you can find our podcast at GaryandDino.com from the New Normal Studios in Burbank. We're back to the Tom Likas Show right after this.
This is the New Normal.
It is all a lie.